AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I'm Sean Braswell. Welcome to Flashback. We're doing something a little different in this episode. We're running a special series about the worst incident of election violence in American history, an event that is almost forgotten today. It happened a century ago, on Election Day, 1920. In the town of Ocoee, Florida. The victims were hundreds of black residents. The perpetrators were their white neighbors. And the reason was that black citizens had gone to the polls and tried to vote.
Our grandmother was one of the most bravest. Females, and the word brave is probably not strong enough. She was not afraid of anything nor anybody.
Nobody.
That's Janice Nelson and her brother, Pastor Stephen Nunn. Their grandmother was Caretha Perry Caldwell. She was a constant presence in their lives growing up in Tampa, Florida.
She just decided, for whatever reason, to talk to Steve and I when we were kids, to just, you know, tell us this story, really.
The story of what happened in Caretha's hometown, Ocoee, Florida, on Election Day, 1920.
I remember driving over to her home that particular morning because I wanted her to make me breakfast. She had the old iron skillet pan and she would fry up some rib bacon and grits and eggs.
Here's what Caretha Perry wanted her grandchildren to know. When she was a teenager, her father, Julius July Perry, and his good friend Mose Norman were prosperous landowners. They were leaders of the sizable black community in a central Florida town called Ocoee. On Election Day 1920, Mose Norman tried to vote. A few hours later, an armed white mob surrounded the Perry's family farmhouse. Caretha Perry told her grandchildren that before long, the white men were shooting into the house.
It was surreal. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't wrap my head around it. And yet, I knew it was real.
It makes sense to me now. Then it didn't really make sense. You know, I knew it happened, but I just didn't take that in at that time as a child. I couldn't fathom all of that.
Caretha told them she was shot in the arm.
She wanted me to know about the bullet wound. So she would always show me and point to it. And then, of course, after she did that, she would tell me, about what took place.
I saw her pain. But I also knew she wanted me to know how courageous she was. And she was willing to stay there next to her dad to the death if it was going to take that. She had every intent to do that. It hurt her, and yet it drove her also to be very angry. And she did not really want to mention the name of Okoye or ever return to Okoye again.
I'm Eugene S. Robinson. You're listening to the Election Day Massacre from Ozzie Media. A warning, this episode contains graphic descriptions of racial violence.
There was some sort of a confrontation, and they knew that Juliana Perry and Moses Norman were among the activists involved in voting, so the attention of the white people sort of focused on them.
Marvin Dunn is the author of A History of Florida Through Black Eyes.
The initial group that went out was led by a man named Sam Salisbury, who was a well-known white man, very popular man, not a law enforcement officer, but was deputized to go out and find out what happened at the polls.
Sam Salisbury was a veteran, a former Army colonel. Marvin Dunn says the heavily armed white men he led to July Perry's farmhouse called themselves a posse. Paul Ortiz, a historian at the University of Florida, did seminal research on the incident.
In a sense, what they're trying to do is pacify him, to kind of take him out of the equation. They feel if they can silence him, then they can stop all this voting nonsense and save white supremacy.
What happened at July Perry's house? Why did it get so violent so quickly?
Pamela Schwartz, chief curator of the Orange County Regional History Center, put together a major exhibition of the Okoye massacre.
Who actually shot who? Who actually said what? There's so many different versions.
July Perry's daughter, Caritha, Janice Nelson and Stephen Nunn's grandmother, was inside the house when the mob showed up.
She told me that at a certain point in time, some of the white residents, men, of the city of Okoye came to their home and basically made a demand for her father to come outside and they wanted to talk.
I've always owned a gun, and you know, I grew up in a gun culture. And you know, if someone comes up to my doorstep and tells me that I need to come out of my house unarmed and they want to talk with me, that's a threat.
And when Sam Salisbury demanded July Perry to come out of his house, Perry came out of his house and asked to go back inside to get his coat. And that's when this struggle ensued.
Someone attempted to force their way in, and there was some gunfire, both from those outside of the house firing in and from her and her father inside of the house firing out. She said that the gunfire was so great that you could see the bullet tracers coming through all angles in the house, just flying all over the place.
Caritha was not the only person shot that night. Her father was shot multiple times.
He told her that he wanted her to get her mother and the children out of the house.
Caritha's mother, Estelle, was not in good health. Caritha's brothers and sister were young children.
I felt like he was saying, you know what? I'm the captain of the ship here. And so guess what? You guys go get out if you can. But I've got to stay. I think even if he hadn't been wounded, he was going to stay and fight to the bitter end no matter what. She recalls asking herself and him, you know, how we're going to get out because they were surrounded. And he said, pray and the Lord will show you a way. And she said she started praying and said, Lord, help us to get out of here. Help me to get my mom and my brothers and sister out of here. And she said there was a cat hole or some type of an open in the bottom of the door. She lifted the little hatch and she said that there was a beam of light, like from the moon, but it was just this beam of light that shined a path through this particular high growth or cornfield. And she said they proceeded on their stomachs to crawl through that path that had been illuminated. And she said, while they were crawling, she said, we could see the feet of the men who were surrounding the home. Some of them We could literally see their feet and we could hear them talking and still firing. And yet they never saw us.
Caritha, Estelle, and the children escaped through the field. Members of the white mob would later claim that, quote, 37 armed Negroes, end quote, participated in the shootout. But it's more likely that it was just the Perry family and a couple of hired hands who held off the assailants. At least six members of the white mob were wounded in the gun battle. Two others died.
They were killed by friendly fire. Other white men shot through the house and killed their comrades. And I found this out by examining the funeral home records of the men who were buried, which included a note from the sheriff documenting that the men had been killed by friendly fire.
It's one of the few records of what happened that night.
You know, there's all of these details that we'll never factually know. There's just no way, because no records and accounts were kept. No full investigation was done.
Perry's family made it to safety, but not for long.
July Perry's wife and daughter, Estelle and Caritha, respectively, are captured. They're taken to the jail in Tampa.
Caritha and Estelle were charged with murdering the two members of the white mob who were killed. The charges were eventually dropped, but not before Caritha and her mother had spent a month in jail.
She said they came in and told them that they were free to go, but to never, ever return to Ocoee again.
Years later, Caritha Perry was asked by an Orlando newspaper if she had ever gone back to Ocoee. She replied, "No, God, I don't ever want to see it, not even on a map."
Of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira hybrid mattress, named best hybrid mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
In 1920, Mildred Board was a little girl in the next town over, Apopka, Florida. Ms. Board has since passed away, but she recorded an oral history a few years ago. We're playing excerpts of it, courtesy of the Orange County Regional History Center. It's one of just a few firsthand accounts of the events of that election day.
The night of the riot, Mose Nauman came to this house. And I remember that he had on a night shirt. And I don't know whether my dad came with him or he got that far and they brought him on here. And my dad said to him, "Well, Mose, how did you get out of Ocoee?" He said, "Just like a rabbit in the wind." I shall never forget it.
Mose Nauman escaped from Ocoee in his car. There were reports that he eventually settled up north in New York City. July Perry did not escape. He made it out of the farmhouse into a nearby sugarcane field, but he was soon discovered.
His little dog betrayed him. When July Perry was shot, he went down in the cane patch. And Jip was the little dog's name. He went down and barked. And that's when the mob found him in the cane patch.
The deputized mob arrested Perry.
There are so many different stories. They shot him there, but they supposed to have carried him, I thought, to the police station in Ocoee. But, you know, as I can remember, there wasn't a police station in Ocoee.
More likely, July Perry was taken to the police station in Orlando, a much bigger town.
Word gets to Orlando, as far away as Orlando, that there's a Negro uprising, but that's a code for Negroes are trying to vote. And so carloads of white people begin mobilizing from as far away as Orlando, drive to Ocoee. There's an electronic signboard in Orlando, and it's used on election day.
But not only to tally votes.
Then someone changes that signboard to direct people to Ocoee.
50 carloads of white men from Orlando descended on the black neighborhoods in Ocoee.
I'm a third generation military veteran. And so when I look at places like Ocoee, I see intelligence, I see supply, I see planning. And what I mean by this is that carloads of white individuals, many of them start from Orlando, and they drive all the way into Ocoee, and they knew who to target. They knew who the leadership was. And they drive to Ocoee, and they begin to torch and burn and loot and pillage this entire community.
That evening, and into the night, white vigilantes set fire to black people's homes, businesses, and churches in Ocoee. They shot at people trying to escape the flames.
Basically, people are defending their homes as this white, paramilitary operation is tearing through their neighborhoods. People put up a defense in Ocoee. They don't just lay down and offer themselves up to the firing squad, if you will.
But we could smell. Somebody said, "Well, how could you smell the smoke?" I said, "I can smell the smoke coming from Africa." So it was something that you could smell the smoke. You knew something was going on.
It's one of the most dramatic days in American history, all across the state. What happens in Florida is really an example. It's kind of a metaphor for American history in 1920. A systematic purging, ethnic cleansing of black people, that's really the outcome. We don't like to use the term ethnic cleansing unless we can use it in Eastern Europe, right? We don't like to use the word pogrom unless we can use it in Africa or someplace else, but it happens here.
Thank you.
there is no way we will ever factually probably know how many Black people were killed that night. Records were intentionally not kept. Given the current research, we as historians will say that at least 4 Black people were murdered.
But many accounts put the death toll much higher. Between 30 and 60 Black residents were killed. Historian Marvin Dunn.
They burned a whole section of the Black community. We don't know if there were folks burned up in those houses or not. Probably there were.
Basically, you had a choice. You can leave and get shot, or you can stay and burn. And they burned to death, and they were put in pauper's caskets and buried in a mass grave.
Once the white mob started burning people's homes and churches, people left.
Every single Black person in Ocoee that night, living or visiting, lost something. Their sense of safety, their home, their property, whether they were a renter or a landowner, sometimes their life.
Those who survived the flames and gunfire escaped into the surrounding swamps. The Florida Times Union reported the next day that Black survivors were seen walking along highways many miles from Ocoee. In the weeks and months that followed, virtually every single Black person fled the town.
And they looked like refugees from a war zone. Those are the descriptions we have of people leaving in wagons with all of their possessions, white people lining the roads, cheering, jeering. You lost, we won.
A day that had begun with hopes of a better life and a stronger democracy in Florida came to an almost unthinkable end as Ocoee burned into the night. Back in Orlando, another violent crowd had gathered. July Perry is in mortal danger.
In the jail in Orlando, he is taken by a lynch mob.
Pamela Schwartz.
He is brutalized. There are many versions of what happened to him, some very, very descriptive and graphic. But he is taken, he is lynched, he's hanged.
If you leave a Apopka and go to the Country Club Road a block from Colonial, there was an oak tree. I don't know if it's the same oak tree, but there is a big oak tree right now. They tied him up and let him hang from that tree for a while.
The tree was near the entrance to the Orlando Country Club, by some accounts, in view of the house of John Chaney, a white judge who tried to help Black citizens of Ocoee vote.
The story went that July was intentionally hanged in view of Chaney's house, but that it was across this lake and it was up by Country Club. At the time, the way the trees and everything were, like when we look back at historic photos of that lake and different things, like I don't think anybody could have seen anything from the judge's house. So I think that that is a thing that became part of the lore.
But there was an unmistakable message.
That's what lynching was about.
Historian Paul Ortiz.
It was really about sending a lesson to the entire Black and white and Hispanic communities, you know, whether it was in the Southwest or in Florida, wherever. We're in charge here, and we don't follow the law. We are the law.
A local Black undertaker took down Perry's corpse from the tree the next day.
Oh, had done so many things to his body. There wasn't too much left hanging because they had just cut his body up in pieces. But they took whatever they could, and I'm sure they embalmed him and they buried him.
The terror inflicted on the Black citizens of Ocoee didn't end with Election Day.
The story has always gone that everybody left immediately. The Black community left. They never came back. The story after is far more nuanced and horrific, I think, personally, than that.
There's an official cover-up that goes on for decades after the event.
There's just so much to the story. I think the most horrific thing is that we don't know, and we don't know by design. By design, we don't have records. We don't have names for the people who were killed. We don't know what homes burned and which ones don't. We don't know what happened to people and where they went.
What we do know is that the terror in Ocoee was not carried out only by people in masks and robes. Much of it was committed openly. And the campaign to keep black people from voting in Florida was not limited to anonymous letters from the Ku Klux Klan. Editorials were printed in the most prominent newspapers in the state.
When the Orlando Sentinel, the Miami Herald say that white supremacy, that our foundation, the foundation of our civilization, white supremacy is in danger, we have to take them seriously. And when we take them seriously, we realize that they're going to do anything they can to break up any challenge to their power system. And this is why so many white people descend upon Akoli, because they're trying to send a lesson to that not only are you not going to vote today, you're never going to vote.
What happened in Akoli was not just about one election. What happened next would take years to orchestrate and execute. In part three of the Election Day Massacre.
Where did everybody go? And then you look for the families and the histories and you try to find where they are today, and you can't find people. You can't find them. They're just lost and gone.
Nobody's ever held responsible in any way, shape, or form for what happens at Akoli.
It was government-supported land up.
The scripture says, thou shalt not steal. They stole it and they need to give it back.
This episode of Flashback, the Election Day Massacre, was written by Sean Braswell and voiced by me, Eugene S. Robinson. It was produced by Maeve McGoran and Iore Odigizua. Chris Hoff engineered our show.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.